Well, by now you've already seen the title, what I'm going to speak on. I just want to make this statement. I don't believe that there is anything greater than serving. I think that the highest honor that God has given his followers, the followers of Jesus, is to serve. To be a servant as he was. And I understand it can be difficult because it's so easy to get caught up in life, especially in this country. It's easier if you're in some remote country where the church is being persecuted, where you don't have a whole lot, you don't have that 50-inch TV hanging on your wall, you don't have the stereo, you don't have the CDs in your cars, you're driving down the road, you don't have the bank account, you don't have this, that, and the other thing, but all you have is your relationship with the Lord and hoping he provides food for tomorrow. It's a little easier then to focus upon the Lord. Sometimes I wonder why God blesses his people, because I've seen so many times that blessings have been a distraction to our relationship with the Lord. We can get caught up in life. That's why we need God's grace. That's why we need to press into him. That's why we need to focus on him. That's why we need to constantly be pursuing in everything we do the fruit of that grace, of which one of them is serving, being a servant. See, serving leads to body ministry. Serving leads to a relationship with the Lord. Serving leads to a strong ecclesia, to a strong church. I mean, as always, Jesus is our example. Let me read out of John 13, starting verse 2 out of the Christian Standard Bible. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and that he was going back to God. So he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, and tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel that tied around him. Now, think about, this is my water. Think about the things Jesus could have done, the things you might have done, I might have done. Rebuke that sucker. Judas, in the name of Jesus, get behind me. Oh, that's in my name, get behind me. Cast the devils out of him. You know? Could have taken the time to talk about future events and how the church was going to walk by faith. He could have taken the time to give some last minute instructions on how the church was supposed to function or be put together. He could have taken some time to make some things crystal clear that aren't, that sadly can sometimes divide churches. And on and on and on. But what did Jesus do? He washed the feet of the apostles. He did something infinitely more powerful than any of the other things that he could have done. He girded himself and he washed their feet. He served. And the mind blower is he even washed the feet of Judas, who he knew what he was going to do, who he had set in the seat of honor to the left of him. Go to Matthew 26, 23. He's honoring this guy. He's washing his feet, who sold, was going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. See, this was such a powerful, powerful teaching. I don't know how many here have ever been part of a foot washing service. I've been part of several. Most people end up crying. It's just humbling. It's powerful. But what Jesus was doing was his final instruction. If you want to imitate me, Jesus, serve. If you want to conduct spiritual warfare, serve. If you want to run the race that has been set before you, serve. If you want to walk in unity with those who God has put you with, serve. If you want to build his church and his kingdom, serve. And always in humility. And always by the grace of God, who has given us that ability to do that. Anybody walk up the sidewalk this morning?
Beautiful.
See any difference? There are a couple of women who are out there in the rain doing that. I'm not going to mention their names. After a while, some of the strong men walked out to help them when it stopped raining. Following Jesus, and you've heard me say this before and you'll hear me say it again, is never, ever, ever, ever about centering our lives upon ourselves. It isn't. That's why we were given humility. That's why we were given serving. Those are two extremely powerful gifts that have come directly from the throne of heaven and given to us. And if you call yourself a believer and you are a believer, then you have those two gifts. See, the truth of the matter is, as a believer, we're part of two different joint ventures. Anybody in business knows what I'm talking about there. But what it is where there's two different things, two different entities, or whatever you want to call them, working together to achieve a goal. It's where maybe two companies come together, whatever. Well, God gave us two. The first one is serving in humility, the one I've been talking about. Us, we, you and I, and God, working together to provide something, to achieve something, based upon the fact that he has given us the humility and the ability to serve by his grace, but then we decide whether or not we're going to do what he's called us to do. We have a choice. The second is the sovereignty of God and our free will. Now, if anybody can explain to me how the sovereignty of God and free will work together, please tell me. I've been thinking about it for about 40 years or so. And I'm still, like, beating my head on that wall over there. But just like serving and humility, the sovereignty of God and free will are designed to work together. I figured that much out. That God and you and I make a team. God's sovereignty pours out his grace, pours out his humility, and then puts us in a position where we can make the choice to receive it and to use it and to serve one another and to build the church and to build the kingdom of God. To honor others more than you honor yourself. To build the church and kingdom. Serving in humility, really, let me read this, is centering our lives on Christ. It's denying ourselves. It's preferring one another and meeting each other's needs. Now, I don't know about you, but my flesh doesn't want to do that. Just doesn't. It wants to go party, have fun, do this, that, and the other thing. But we are to meet each other's needs. It can be a little easier to meet the needs of those we know. But what about the ones that we don't know? It's a little easier to meet the needs of those who are in the church of the kingdom. But what about those who aren't? I'll get back to that in a moment. But it's all by grace. An amazing word that shows up 124 times in the New Testament. Haris. It's a favor done without expectation of return. Okay, I don't want to hear any more, Lord. It's a favor done without expectation of return. The absolutely free expression of the loving kindness of God to men, finding its only motive in the bounty and benevolence of the giver, unearned and unmerited favor. God's grace affects man's sinfulness and not only forgives the repentant sinner, but brings joy and thankfulness to him. It changes the individual to a new creature without destroying his individuality. A.W. Tozer puts it this way: grace is the good pleasure of God that inclines him to bestow benefits upon the undeserving. See, it's by God's grace that we receive all that God has given us, all the abilities, all the blessings, everything. But it's also by God's grace where he's given us the ability to take what he has given us to dispense it to others. It's God's grace we can walk a life of receiving, of serving, and humility. See, God, by his grace, has developed in each one of you, within me, gifts, abilities. And it's by his grace and activating our free will that we can choose to stir those puppies up. Not for ourselves, but for the benefit of others. See, if you had a group of 20 friends and you're all about serving them and blessing them, and they were all about serving and blessing each other, do you think you'd live a blessed, served life? I think so. I think all your needs would be met. But he's deposited these things within us, and he wants us to choose to use them to humbly serve. See, we are in a joint venture, as I said before, with God. It's a team. I mean, when you look through the Bible, you see teams over and over. Jesus and his apostles. You know, when they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah, it wasn't just Nehemiah. You can look all the way through the Bible and look through the Old Testament and the New Testament and see all kinds of what the modern vernacular would say, teams. Search them out. But always, our example is Jesus. Mark 10:45, the Lexham English Bible. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, the Son of God, God, the one whom everything was created, the one who is at the right hand of the Father, didn't come to do anything else but serve. That's mind-boggling. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He didn't come to serve, be served, but to serve. I mean, think about that for a few thousand years. What an amazing example. What an amazing person he is. What a person that we're supposed to follow. I just want to compliment this fellowship. I hear all the time that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. That doesn't apply here. It just doesn't. I can look around this room and I honestly say everyone's doing things. Everyone's serving. Does that mean you've arrived? No. in the words of Emeril, I think God wants us to kick it up a notch. If you don't know who Emeril is, that's okay. But if you ever tasted any of his recipes, they're pretty good. But that doesn't fit here. God is doing a good work here. But think about the 3 years that Jesus walked with his disciples. Think about the good. Think about the bad. Think about the ugly. When Jesus began his journey as a baby in that manger, he had already made a decision to serve. He served throughout his journey. He served in the middle. He served at the 30% mark, the 70% mark, the 80% mark, and he served most graciously at the end. He never stopped serving. When, as I said earlier, he could have chosen something entirely differently. Just think of some of the stories in the Bible where he served and how he could have chosen something differently. About the times where he could have taken a different action than he did. But he was always about others. And we're called to be that too. Philippians 2:3, reading out a New Living Translation. Don't be selfish. Whoops. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. So should we choose to serve? Yes. Out of the grace of God that flows through us? Yes. With the humility that God has placed within us and called us to walk in? Yes. Even when the person may not be worthy of being served? No. Oh, no. Yes. Aren't you glad, though, that God chose us to serve? Chose to serve us even when we didn't deserve it. See, we have the opportunity. In fact, we're called to do what Jesus did. We're called to serve. So who are we called to serve? Well, let's start off with Jesus, the Lord. Romans 12:1, NLT, never be lazy. Okay, I'm convicted. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Each other, Galatians 5:13, ESV. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. How about those that we don't know? Well, Matthew 21 talks about loving our neighbors. Our neighbors is defined as everyone, as ourselves. Matthew 25 talks about the sick, the thirsty, the hungry, the strangers, the naked, those in prison, and how Jesus commended those that served them, even though they didn't know them. And then there's this one. How about our enemies? Jesus told us to turn the other cheek. He told us to give our cloak to. He told us to go the extra mile. See, Jesus washed Judas's feet. I thought about it. There's no way I would have washed Judas's feet. I would have told him to go back to where he belonged, to get that you-know-what out of there. I'm just being real. But he washed his feet. I don't think the question is about when will we serve. The question is, will we serve? And again, I commend this church because I think, you know, when God gave me this, I went, I don't know that we need to hear this message. And I heard these words very clearly. With what's coming down the road, you need to share this message. Because when God brings in what has been talked about this morning, this move and so forth, don't look at me. Don't look at Terry. It's us that's going to deal with that. It's us that are going to be the spiritual mothers. It's us that are going to be the spiritual fathers. It's us that are going to clean up the messes. I was saved in the middle of the Jesus revolution, evolution, whatever it was called, in California. I was in the Philippines when I got saved. It wasn't in California. But I came back, and I heard about the messes. I mean, you have people coming in that you probably don't want to, right now you'd really want to not be friends with. And they're going to walk in the door and God's going to say, guess what? And you're going to go, oh, you were talking to the person over there, right? And he's going to go, no, I was talking to you. I'm just warning you. And we're going to do it by serving, by loving, by just helping, by walking along, by mothering, by fathering, by discipling, by mentoring, whatever term you want to use. And as we do that, it might even lead to somebody's salvation. It might lead to somebody being delivered. It might lead to somebody being healed. It might lead to people being set free. To being who God always had designed them to be, that they hadn't walked out up to that point. See, God has blessed us with gifts. He's already prepared us, all of us, for this move. He's already prepared all of us in this joint venture to be ready to do what God has called this fellowship to do. We're just going to have the opportunity to stir it up. 1 Peter 4:10 NLT. God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. Why? To serve one another. We're called to be humble servants. It's an extremely high calling. There's none greater. You know, at least Jesus thought so. Mark 9:35, the Christian Standard Bible. Sitting down, He called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he must be last. Whoa! Can you imagine running a race and you're up there and you're going around the last turn and you go, I want to be first, so I got to let everybody pass me and be servant of all. Mark 10:43-45, the Lexham English Bible. But it is not like this among you, but whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be most prominent among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. What's it take to serve? It takes four things that I put. Grace, humility, vision, a vision for serving, and a desire. It takes the opposite of pride and arrogance. We just saw that in Scripture that Jesus feels like the ones that render service as first in His kingdom, and that those who care and minister to others as being great. We are humbly. We are called to humbly serve others. I know I keep saying this over, but I just sense that God wants us to kick it up a notch, to walk into Him, to listen to His voice, to prepare ourselves for what God is bringing down the path. Because He wants us, through this joint venture that He has caused, that He has formed with us, to build His church and to build His kingdom. And I think it's going to go beyond these walls. I really do. What is serving? Just doing the little things at times, most of the time. You know? I was going to tell you the story of Cheryl. You've heard it. I've used it before he ever showed up here. You know, how he just kind of cleaned bathrooms and set up chairs and did this and that and the other thing. And nobody knew who was doing it. And then it started going around that I think is scriptural, that whoever was doing this is famous in heaven. Because of what Jesus said about being first and about being great. See, Cheryl was humble. I got permission to say this, by the way. Cheryl was humble. He's a conduit of God's grace because he served. And all of you are in the same place as you serve. It was interesting. In Colombia, we used to have conferences. And I don't want to exaggerate, but there'd be a couple hundred people that would come to those conferences, right? And I don't know how many we had, four, five, six, whatever they were. There were hundreds of people in that church that would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now Frank's sitting there going, what's the big deal about that? I get up at 4 o'clock every morning. But they'd get up to be down at the building at 4:15, 4:30 in the morning to clean it, to start breakfast, to get everything ready to honor our guests. It's interesting you mention Arthur Wallace's name because he's right here. Who's here have heard of Arthur Wallace? Raise your hand. Well, you're missing out on three great books, three of the greatest books of all time. God's Chosen Fast. Well, I know, I'll scratch that one off our list. In the Day of Thy Power, and The Radical Christian. Arthur and Eileen Wallace were just a precious couple from England that would come over and to our conferences and share. But you know where his favorite place was? In the kitchen, after hours, in the early morning. Not talking to the ministers, the pastors and elders that were there, but talking to the people that were sweeping the floor, they were cooking the meals. You know why? Because this is what he said, and this is a quote. I saw Jesus in action. I saw the kingdom of God being built. I saw the church being built. Servants are famous before God. That's, people serve because they understand some things. We serve because we know who God is. And we know that serving is about glorifying God. We know that serving is about centering our lives upon God. That serving is the fruit of God's grace. And also that we were lost and now we're found. We're saved. Humility is important. To honor others, and serving God and His people is a privilege. Even when no one is around. It's much easier to serve when other people are noticing you. I mean, right? I'm not looking for raised hands, but I like to be noticed, you know? But to be a servant, you've got to not worry about that. And you've got to focus on God. And be willing to be a conduit of love, of grace, of just reaching out, of humility, of honoring people. Showing forth, as Arthur Wallace put it, Jesus in action. I do recommend those books, and I have all three of them. In fact, at one point in time, I had like four or five copies of God's Chosen Fast. God's Chosen Fast and the Day of Their Power and the Radical Christian. Powerful books, all three of them. I promise you this. You know what the fruit of serving is? Joy. Joy. You may walk out with a back that hurts, but you'll be happy. You'll be full of His joy. I'm watching these two women yesterday out there. They were just smiling, they were talking to each other, having a good old time. All because of God's grace. Now, I'm not lifting them up higher than everybody else that was here because there's a bunch of people. I think you got all the everything done that you want to get done, right? Okay. You know, I tried a couple of different things. I tried to electrocute myself with that thing out there, what do they call it, GFI? GFI, unfortunately, a couple of guys come in and saved me. There's another person who said they absolutely hate doing plumbing work, that There's a toilet in the women's bathroom that is no longer flushing by itself.
Good.
You know, God just does amazing things. You know, and if you didn't have a chance to make it here yesterday, don't. There's no condemnation. I mean, we're going to put condemnation on Cheryl because he chose to rather to have all kinds of dizziness and go to the emergency room. I mean, where's your faith, bro? You know I'm joking, right? Everybody knows I'm joking. So don't get condemned. It's not about that. But there's always plenty to do. I want to commend us. What?
I got a little story.
Can you come up here and put it on the microphone? This is famous here.
Yeah, the thing about serving.
Oh, it's on.
It's on now. The thing about serving is being able to perform when people's not patting you on the back. And you're doing it unto the Lord, and you're basically hidden. But one day I was up at my house, and it was a Saturday, and people cleaned the church at that time. And I was, we'd been married about 3 years, and I was, I had my Bible time in the morning, so I was reading my Bible, and I was somewhere in the Gospels, and it said, whoever gives a cup of water in my name, they will not lose their reward. I don't know if that's exact. But anyway, I read that. I thought, Lord, a cup of water, that's such a small, small thing. And I was thinking in my mind, I was thinking about, well, you know, I have turned down big jobs in other states to stay here at this church. And all the different things I did at the church, I did a lot of things that were hidden. And I was going through that, and I thought, well, it's a cup of water. So I go out the door, and I go down the driveway, and this young guy comes across the street, and he says, sir, can I have a cup of water? And he had been drinking all night. He didn't even know where he was at in Columbia. And so I said, one cup of water coming up. So I go in, I get this big, you know, you used to get these big plastic things from things. I filled up ice and water, I go back and give it to him. He says, which direction is MU? And I said, well, take that street, stay on it. You can go downtown, turn 9th Street, or you can turn to the stadium and end up back at the university. But then I said, every little thing you do, God sees it. Every little thing you do is important in the kingdom. And my part for that guy was a cup of water. And he will be in the kingdom someday. I'm absolutely sure of it. And so after that, I didn't trivialize people who did less, because that's not where the measurement is.
That's right.
It's not worth that.
That's right.
So.
Amen. Remember that thing I've used some time ago? It's really good what you said, Cheryl. Imagine this is the line, and everybody in this room got saved on this date at 1:07:36 seconds on the 5th of June. Okay? And then 10 years later, people are all over the place. There's one person out here and one person back here, and all spread out in between. Who are we inclined to think is the most spiritual? Let's be honest. It may be this person, because we don't know what that person went through. Now, if we've taken the time to get to know that person, and these are some of the people who are going to wander in here, we might find out that for them to have made it that far is pretty amazing. Okay. So it's good what you said. And it's good to know that it's not about amount. But it's about doing what God wants us to do. It's going back to that joint venture. God has equipped us. You know, I'm not going to, here is the pastor. Well, so what? You know, I could go, well, what about, what's his face, who has a church of 2,000? That's God's design. He's given them. You know, they're building a $6.5 million building in Columbia, wherever it is. Where is Columbia, that way? And I'm going, thank you, Jesus. You know? So, it's not about when you get the point. But I do want to commend, because I understand we have 5 nursery workers now. We pick up another person for Kingdom Kids. Thank you. If there's anybody else who wants to work in Kingdom Kids, I'm sure Pam would welcome you with open arms and may take you out to dinner. But here's what I'm looking for. Anybody here play bass guitar? Anybody that knows an unsaved person that plays the bass guitar? Go preach at them. Get them saved. But seriously, we're doing well. We're doing well, and I'm seeing why God wanted me to teach this morning, because he's preparing us to take another step forward in what is coming down the road. Amen? Does the worship team want to come back up, or are you tired?
We don't have a bass guitar.
I don't know. I had a picture of you with a bass guitar in your hand, Tammy.
Which means we need a keyboard.
So, Father, I pray that you would... Oh, here.
It's okay, I don't know.
I pray that you would help us and prepare us to be ready for what you have coming down the road. That we will... And I know... I have confidence, Lord, that everybody here will step up, because they have. And so just prepare us to take another big step forward. And the church said... Amen.